Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's great to have you here as we kick off our Tuesday Night Live. And this year, the overarching theme is Catholic superpowers. And we'll dive into that both tonight and throughout the year. Just kind of, what does that mean? What does that mean in our lives? And so it's just it's meant to be kind of a fun, lighthearted take on different things, and just dive into just the adventure of living life and living life with God. And so we thought we'd, in this theme is something that really just calls to our culture these days. People, there's just an endless array of superhero movies coming out and different ones and sequels and all those things. Our culture is captivated by it. And so I thought, well, this would be a good way to kind of dive in. So superheroes are amazing. And let's see what a few of them can do. Equal opportunity with our superheroes. Finally have the computer graphics to show how sweet superheroes are, you know, and why are they so popular? You know, if we could go back to, all right, good. Why are they so popular? I think there's a lot of reasons why. Superheroes are autonomous, you know, they kind of are out there doing their own thing. They're unique, you know, and from what they wear to how they act to the powers they have, they're this unique individual. They're celebrated for who they are. In a real way, there's this assertion of it. This is who I am, and I'm fully alive in that. And then superheroes have, well, the freedom from normal limitations. Superman, just really fully discovering his power to fly. And I love that shot of zooming across the ocean, you know, and then going up into space and everywhere in between. Or it's always the German soldier that seem to get the brunt of the superheroes. But there's Superwoman just, you know, taking out rooms full of German soldiers, you know. And superheroes have a power to make a difference. You know, they can change the course of history. They can intervene. They can stop cosmic powers that come to destroy Earth. They can bring justice to society. There's no doubt that they make a difference. Their life is a great drama, part of a great story of discovering their powers, of their first tentative steps, and then growing into who they're meant to be, and then confronting the villain and the drama, and the villain knows their secret weakness and you know, almost defeats them, and then they summon up the rest of their power to overcome evil, you know, and so their life is part of this great story. And lastly, they're not afraid. They just go zooming through canyons. They go diving into rooms, you know, and engage the enemy, knowing that with their powers, they can win. And so superheroes are amazingly compelling people and, you know, great, great subjects for movies and comic books and imagination. But, you know, there's a but. But at the end of the day, they're simply stories. You know, they're stories. Scraps of film, bites on a disc. You know, they're things we fancy and enjoy to watch, but Superman, in reality, has never flown anywhere. You know, Superwoman has never saved a single person. You know, they can inspire, you know, but in their ideal and their exaggeration, they only kind of vaguely point to human potential. Maybe to what we aspire to. In a way, they're kind of larger-than-life images of our own awareness that we have gifts, that we have potential, that we are meant to be fully alive, and that we are meant to be part of a great story and part of great things. And so superheroes are kind of these images, totems, if you want to call it, of this human reality. But they themselves aren't real. There is somebody else who does take human potential seriously and actually uses it. And that's God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. These three images kind of talk about three different people, three different episodes where God has taken human potential and working with our human potential has done great things. So let me just share from Scripture these three different episodes in a sense. On the lower left, you have a prophet named Jeremiah. So who's heard of the prophet Jeremiah? Some people here, okay, right. You know, and he's an amazing figure, but he had his doubts. This is what Jeremiah himself tells us. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Ah, Lord God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord answered me, do not say I am too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord extended his hand and touched my mouth, saying to me, see, I place my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant. And so this one young man in the midst of a very hard time, in the time of Israel, the time of Judah, the time of Jerusalem, was called by the Lord. And the Lord told him, do not be afraid. You know, I am with you. In fact, I dedicated you in the womb before you were born. And so Jeremiah had to learn that what seemed to him an impossible task was possible because God was with him. And listen to his mission. I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant. And so Jeremiah had this amazing mission that he was made for. And then we have over another side, of course, the famous standoff, one of the most famous in the Bible. You have Moses and the Pharaoh. Here's when Moses was called. Moses, however, said to the Lord, if you please, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gives one person speech? Who makes another mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will assist you in speaking and teach you what you are to say. But he said, if you please, my Lord, send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses and said, I know there is your brother Aaron, the Levite, who is a good speaker. Even now he is on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he will truly be glad. You will speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will assist both you and him in speaking and teach you both what you are to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will be your spokesman and you will be as God to him. Take this staff in your hand. With it, you are to perform the signs. So Moses didn't have the doubt of youth like Jeremiah, but he was a stutterer. He was this kind of stammering guy. And here, God picked him, you know, to go and speak before, you know, this king, the Pharaoh, to demand that Israel be set free. It seemed kind of insane that God would, you know, why don't you just pick Aaron from the first place, you know, and Moses can just haul his backpack around or something, you know. But no, Moses was the one that was picked. And then Aaron is called in to assist, which is always interesting. You know, God draws people together. There was a scribe, Baruch, who was given to Jeremiah to help him in his mission, you know. And so when God calls us in the mission and to use power through him, you know, it's never just like on our own, zipping around or kicking butt. You know, it's like God likes to draw people together. And then here's a third one up top, and that's from a recent movie about the Apostle Paul, which is very good. And so you have Paul on the right in his last days, and that's actually Luke next to him, coming to speak to him as he wants to make his account called the Acts of the Apostles. Here's a passage of Paul just talking about his experience as an apostle. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me, this affliction he had. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast gladly of my weaknesses than in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul is this broken apostle that God works through in powerful and mighty ways, spreading the gospel so far and wide, and in the midst of all these struggles, doing things, raising people from the dead, driving out demons, healing people, proclaiming the gospel, all these different things. You know, there's one episode where they came and healed a man in this one village, and the people thought that he and his companion were Greek gods, and they're going to come out and sacrifice an oxen right there to these Greek gods standing in their midst. And so instead, you know, Paul and Barnabas kind of tore their garments. Stop, you know, we're mere men. We're mere men. But they're mere men who have the power of Christ dwelling within them. And so Paul's explanation of his life shows the close partnership, the partnership that humans can have with God. You know, this is the source of real powers that can change the world and also leads to us being more fully alive. You know, these things happen and continue to happen in the world today. And so how do Catholic superheroes and how do Catholic superpowers work? They often work really differently than you know, a dose of radiation or a spider bite or, you know, being born on another planet, you know. They work often through our weaknesses as well as our gifts, you know. In the midst of our weaknesses, God is often, that's where he chooses to work, so we can see who really is there. It's not just simply human excellence, but God working with us in this partnership. You know, we accomplish things to a degree in a way that we never could do on our own. And so, yes, we are supremely involved in it, but the results so often are so much greater, such a more bountiful harvest than what we could have ever expected on our own effort. And ultimately, now superheroes, at least the really good ones, you know, they want to serve goodness and truth, right? You know, and justice and all those things. Well, Catholic superheroes, well, they serve goodness and truth himself. As St. Augustine said, O eternal truth, true love, and beloved eternity, you are my God. To you do I sigh day and night. And so superheroes and their superpowers awaken in us this desire for transcendence, for making an impact, for you know, being part of a great drama. And it's really all right there in front of us. And Christ giving us the gospel and his life and our vocations being consecrated in the womb for the Lord. And it doesn't just happen in the Bible. You know, we've got these Bible images, but we know that God has done this again and again and again throughout history. All these different people, and I picked a lot of them, saints from the 20th century. You know, these are people that could be photographed, and that's a tapestry in the middle from the LA Cathedral, which is kind of an interesting building, but they've got some pretty cool tapestries. And so all these people have been guided by God, and the power of God has been at work through them. You know, from Pier Giorgio Fossati, this blessed in the lower right-hand corner, and his great work with youth and with the poor, St. Francis Cabrini above him, you know, another Italian, just lots of Italians. They just live close to Rome. They get better PRs. Now that I look at this, Father Stanley Rother, an American, who was martyred down in Central America back in the 20th century. And then you have in the middle there a mother, St. John Amola, who suffered her cancer unto death so that in not having being treated, her children's lives would be spared in the womb. And then, of course, St. Padre Pio, a man of uncommon, incredible powers from being able to kind of read souls who'd come to him for confession, to by location, you know. It's documented. And he was seen at a funeral in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he was in a church in Italy, you know. And more than once, that kind of thing happened. Not even Superman can by locate. So, and so you see God taking up all of these different people and giving these powers, though not to be exalted that people would wear t-shirts, you know, like a big, you know, PP, like a Superman, Padre Pio. But instead, you know, instead it would, you know, kind of point to Christ and see Christ's power revealed through them. And so we see it in the Bible. We see it in history. And I hope we can start to more and more see it in ourselves as well. One other really great saint, Saint Catherine of Siena, and her famous line, be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. You know, and Saint Catherine was a wonderful saint. She was a third order Dominican. And she lived in Siena and roundabout, and she had profound impact on the people around her. And one of her specialties was letter writing. And she would write popes and kings and cardinals, and in some ways she became the conscience of a lot of the church in her time, writing them and communicating and speaking so boldly and valiantly to them, and just a wonderful saint. And here she was, just this one woman in a time when women didn't have a lot of very obvious and immediate influence on the powers of the world. And yet she made things happen and made things move because she was who God meant her to be. And Jesus says, I have come to set the earth on fire. And how I wish it were already blazing. So we then too are meant to be as God has made us, consecrated us, dedicated us, and in that we can set the world on fire. Well, and what fire? Well, the fire of God's life and love. You know, that's the real adventure. You know, and so superheroes, you know, some ways I wish it was that easy. Just kind of, you know, exile some bad guy, you know, to another dimension, or you blow up some robot or something like that, and all the problems are over. But we know that in the real world, problems are much more difficult and intractable and diffuse and run through every human heart and through every human institution. And so, you know, superheroes make it look easy because, well, their problems are kind of easy. Yeah, okay, the guy can knock over a building, but it's this one guy. You get rid of him, you know, and the problem's over. But for us, you know, the battle is much more extensive and cosmic. And that's why the world needs to be set on fire, to spread and cover everything. And God refuses to do it unless he can do it through us. As it says in the Gospel of John, to those who did not accept him, or to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You know, and so we are brought in as children of God to be part of God's work and his mission. And so Catholic superpowers, in the end, they're a partnership with God. And in this partnership, you know, it's not just simply, you know, I get this power, you know, like I can fly or X-ray vision or I've got, you know, a cool shield or something like that. And then I just kind of use it kind of how I wish to or not wish to. With Catholic superpowers, there's always this partnership. Now, I know there's this new superhero, Venom, you know, and there's like an inn living inside of him, and they kind of talk and cooperate. And so, I mean, there are some superheroes like that, but overall, Catholic superheroes are in partnership with somebody, you know? And so the saints, you know, are pinnacle examples of that, you know, the saints that we have, but they're not meant to be just simply a reality on their own. So this year, we're going to explore different Catholic superpowers. You know, and what are these? And what are these different things that God wants to do with us so that the world can be set on fire with life, with love, with truth? You know, and to realize how we're a part of that mission in our own way, you know, kind of the, you know, step aside Justice League, you know, if there's something bigger and more enduring here. And that's us, and that's the faith, and that's the church. So why not? You know, why not be a part of all of this? You know, why? You know, what holds us back, you know, from being the ones God meant us to be, you know, and from setting the world on fire? You know, what's the obstacle? Well, there's different ones, but you know, I think about looking at the Gospels. You'll see, like especially in the Gospel of Luke, at the very beginning, when the Son of God is going to come and be conceived in Mary's womb, you know, in his human nature, the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary, you know, what does Gabriel have to tell Mary right there at the beginning? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And her son wouldn't stop telling people that the rest of his life. Be not afraid, you know, to Peter, to disciples, to the startled apostles when Jesus risen from the dead, you know, appeared in their midst again and again. And then in the book of Revelation, God's message to the churches, to the early Christians, again and again, be not afraid. And I think fear is one of the biggest obstacles to us being the Catholic superheroes we're meant to be. You know, fear can constrain us from living more abundantly. You know, it can also constrain us from, you know, living on that supernatural level. Think of like Peter. You know, he stepped out of the boat. I mean, how many of us would even step out of the boat? So you got to give the guy credit for that at least, you know. And Jesus invited him to step out of the boat. I mean, Peter screwed up, but he always was screwing up and trying to do good things, you know. And he stepped out, but once he stepped out, and he stopped looking at Jesus, ooh, that wind, those waves, those natural kind of threats put fear back in his heart. And he started to sink right away. So fear can be a very potent thing. It can slow, it can even quench the fire that God wants to cast and spread on the world through us. And so the superpower that I want to just touch on a bit for us tonight is fortitude. Fortitude. Because if we're dominated by fear, you know, we're never going to be able to be the ones God wants us to be those fire spreaders, those fire casters on the world. And fortitude is all about not being dominated by fear. So this is just kind of the closing part, looking at this virtue. I remember when I first came to Colorado, I came on a trip actually with my folks. I was going to be going to Bolivia later on, a few weeks later, and I had this window between finishing work and going overseas, and came out here on vacation, and I met Archbishop Chaput. It had been arranged. A sneaky Jesuit had tipped him off that I was visiting Colorado, and he emailed right away, Matt, heard you're coming to Colorado. Why don't you stop by the seminary? How about Friday? 2 o'clock, just bam, it's like, wow, okay, this is pretty amazing, to get that personal invitation from Archbishop Chaput. And so, I went into the office and sat down with him, and I remember him just asking me, well, Matt, what's keeping you from being a priest of Jesus Christ? Just boom. It wasn't like, well, how's your trip so far, how are the Packers going to be this year, or something like that. It's just, boom, right up the middle, vintage Chaput. Matt, what's keeping you from being a priest of Jesus Christ? Now, the fact of the matter, my answer was this, that, well, I'm not sure if God's calling me to be a priest of Jesus Christ. And so, he's like, well, okay, that's a good answer. But I think what he's used to is a lot of guys, and I had those too, and maybe I just wasn't candid enough, to admit what are the fears keeping me from the priesthood. Of fears on one side, of things that might seem difficult and challenging and bad, and then also good things that I may have to lose, to become a priest. And we can fear both of those things that seem evil and goods that we think we might lose. And fear can get generated through both of those realities, And so he wanted me, as he wanted all the guys who are thinking about the priesthood, get in touch with that so that God can help you with it. Fortitude isn't about not having fear. Fortitude isn't about, I'm not afraid, of anything. No, no trembling, no. Fortitude is about, how do we respond to fear in our lives? There's two main parts to fortitude, and that's to either overcome obstacles or to endure hardships. We need both. If there's something we want to accomplish and it seems like it might be hard to do, or there might be consequences to it, or something like that. Well, we need fortitude where fear rises up as those obstacles, rear up before us. And so fortitude helps us overcome that, to smash through those obstacles, to keep going even when it gets really hard. And so fortitude can sustain us in action, And then the other side of fortitude is to endure. Sometimes there's obstacles, there's hardships in our life that we can't just solve. We can't just fix. I've shot my spiderwebs at them. I did my electric shocks at it. Whatever. I threw a train at it. It's still standing. It's still a suffering. And that's the other part of fortitude. And maybe the deeper part, which is how to endure. How to endure without falling apart. And so Jeremiah tells us that one time, Jeremiah had a tough time. He had to tell Jerusalem that unless they change, they're doomed. Not a really popular message, And he had to go right to the temple and kind of read these prophecies of God. And it got him thrown into a cistern, and it got him beaten and all kinds of things like that. The question was, would he endure? Would he stay this prophet? And so God told him, "For I am the one today For I am the one who today makes you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of bronze against the land. And Jeremiah was able to endure, was able to stay true to who he was, which was someone dedicated by God since the womb to be a prophet. And so fortitude is something that we cultivate in ourselves, either to overcome hard things or to endure them. But it's also something that God helps us with. You see, Catholic superpowers are both of those things. There's a great line I heard recently, which was this, that grace, while opposed to earning, is not opposed to effort. We can't earn God's grace. It's grace, which means freely given. It comes out of His goodness, out of His abundance, out of His love for us, and out of His designs and His desires, which are always good and true for us. And we can't wheedle grace out of Him or manipulate Him into giving us grace, let alone earning it or something like that. Grace is simply given to us. But grace is not opposed to effort, which means that grace will then help us, assist us in what we are trying to do. Grace will be there to accompany us, to make us into that pillar of iron, that wall of bronze, you know, against whatever that hardship is that calls upon our fortitude against our fear. God will be there to help us with that. So on our part, I think, you know, fortitude as a virtue is something for us to cultivate. You know, how can we cultivate it? I think it's in part repeated small acts of overcoming fear. You know, of just little things that maybe we're afraid of or afraid to do or afraid to withstand, you know, and to push into those and not let the fear be what dictates our choices. You know, maybe it's simply getting out of our comfort zone around something, which so often a comfort zone becomes a complacency zone, you know? And our growth is stunted, our fire starts to flicker out. Because I just want to stay where it's safe. Maybe how I'm used to doing things, or who I'm used to talking to, or things like that. So think about in your life, you know, where are maybe there are comfort zones that have become complacency zones, you know? And then it's a matter of putting one foot in front of the other. You know, God didn't just kind of download it all to Jeremiah immediately, or to the other prophets, or to anybody else. Jesus took a long time with His disciples to form them. So God doesn't ask us to leap over a building in a single bound. Just take the next step. Where's that next step you're supposed to take in your life? And so that's on our side. Now, when Jesus gives a command, He always gives the power to be able to fulfill it. And so if Jesus says to us, be not afraid, meaning don't be dominated by fear, He'll give us the grace to do that. And so we have then fortitude. It's just simply planted in our souls. It's infused in our souls. It's there and ready for us to use. And then even more amazingly is that the Holy Spirit will even come to us and be our strength itself. And that's the gift of fortitude. You know, so I can try to be and have fortitude myself to overcome, to endure out of my own resources, out of my own strength. But as St. Paul talked about, God wants to give us His fortitude. And so we need to ask for it. Ask for it to be activated and alive in our lives. We need to pray for it. In the end, superheroes, you know, they really relied on their powers to overcome. And they relied on their powers to not be afraid because they could master a situation. They knew the way out. It was, you know, so many kicks or so many jumps, you know, and this problem is solved. You know, would that or that simple. But for us, God wants to be a partner with us in it. And He really does show up. We see that in the Bible. We see that in the saints. I hope you've seen that in your lives as well. Maybe part of cultivating fortitude is just remembering all the ways that that happened. And so, just to close, we're called to live with abandonment, you know, to be part of Christ wanting to cast fire upon the earth, setting the world on fire. And we're going to learn all about that this year in all the different ways. But if we're kind of not even willing to step out of the starting line because of fear, you know, it's all a moot point. So let's ask for that fortitude to both to overcome and to endure, to be, you know, that pillar of iron, that wall of bronze, you know, that maybe God needs us to be in this day and age, you know, for others, you know, for each of us, you know, where we're called together. But then I think also even for ourselves to become fully alive. And so I'm just going to close with the song. No, you don't have to sing, just watch it. And I said, yeah. Oh, was there fear in your eyes when I said that? So, overcome. And no. So you may not like the song, so then just endure, okay? And but it's all about just living with abandonment. And it takes the analogy of extreme sports as another kind of metaphor for us being courageous in our Christian lives.